The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Share Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You are part of our 600,000 listening level, American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit to quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we openly testify. Allah is the one God. There are no partners with Allah. And Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of Allah. Greetings, dear listening audience, and welcome again to the 2019 CWSC AM360 End of the Year Telethon. We're thankful that you're here with us, and we pray that everything is going as well as possible with you, your family, your community, your corporation, whatever you may be. If you're listening by way of the 24-hour streaming, 701-719-4197, you can continue to listen, and at the appropriate time you want to call in to the studio, then call in by dialing 515-605-9891. Again, that's 515-605-9891. We look forward to hearing from you, and you can also dial in by 425-292-4259.
3. We welcome you. You can tweet us at CWSHURAA. That's CWS Shura. Or you can email us if you have any questions or comments. You can email us or dial 910-317-0297. Or you can email us at info@cwsc.us. I drew a blank right there. Again, email is info@cwsc.us. All right, on to the end of the year telethon. If you're on with us this morning, we are at 1,550 from this morning presentation hour. That was with the usual programming of Building Community Life Seminar with the host, Muqtada Muhammad, and the host, Fatih Amin. And if you're going to join us later this evening, that will be with Imam Abdul Aziz with Maya Ala Kuliha. Yes, Maya Ala Kuliha. And coming back in the 2020, January 2020, will be our host, Zaid Ahmed Khan, who brings to us Bilal and America Project. So there's much to be looking forward to right here on American Muslim 360 broadcast. We look forward to having you with us, and should you want to make your donation, your contribution by way of the financial help, then you can press 1 on your phone. We will open your mic, and you can share how your relationship with American Muslim 360 broadcast and with CWSC, that's the Community-Wide Shura Conference. We want to hear your voice because this is where your voice is protected, your intellect respected. We are here 7 days a week, and the timing for the AM 360 broadcast team, we're here normally 7 a.m. in the morning to 10 a.m. You can go to cwsc.us and see the calendar there. And you will see the various hours for the presenters. You may have particular presenters that you listen to more often than others, but there's so much, there's such a broad spectrum of presentations that have come to American Muslim 360 broadcast, and we are so thankful for them. I'm going to go through the list of the hosts that are presenters here on American Muslim 360, and I'm going to start with the Sunday morning team. We have what is known as the Daily Crew Leader. The Daily Crew Leader for Sunday is Imam Hamim Habib. Have you heard Imam Hamim Habib? He presents Toward a Model Community. Toward a Model Community. He presents every fourth Sunday here at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, when we say Daily Crew Leader, that's our communication avenue, provider, connector, relating with the rest of the team. And the rest of the team is Imam Nazim Pasha, who presents Al-Islam-based conversations starting at 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And following that, immediately, he presents financial literacy for financial freedom. And that's from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Following that, now what will be returning in January 2020 will be Uncle Wu, Cultural Enlightenment. And he will be presenting from the 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday. 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday, because as he finishes comes Muslima reality. That's with Kalima Abdul Rashid. Surely you've been listening to Kalima Abdul Rashid. She's on from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. along with Debbie Shankman, the tag team for Muslima reality. And then at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. is Principal Quran Shakir. And every fourth Sunday, she's accompanied by the youthful team as they present their hosting expertise for our liking. So if you've heard, you can go to the podcast and click on some of the previous aired presentations, and you will get an understanding of what I'm referring to for Sunday's team. And again, I mentioned Imam Hamim Habib, the daily crew leader for Sunday, and he presents toward a model community. That's the fourth Sunday of the month. Now, the first, second, and third Sunday, we present reading of a good book. We start out with Quran, the book, Quran, and then presenters share in reading of a good book. Should you have a book of interest that you'd like to share here on American Muslim 360 broadcast? Well, by all means, dial 910-317-0297 and make it known, or info@cwsc.us, email us, and you will be contacted. Now, again, you are here, and we're asking you to, others who are by way of the computer, you probably are listening by way of am360.org. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I'm the regular host for Friday evening for Community Developmental Stages and Community Buzz. So if you want to join us live right now for our annual year-end telethon, to raise funds, we're here to raise funds. What? How much? What are we here for? What's the goal? $10,000. That's our goal. We're here to raise the funds for the am360.org. That's am360.org, or the broadcasting network, and our entire intelligentsia. Because of your support, we remain an independent and growing media center with both live and podcast programming 24 hours a day. You can help us stay the place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Again, our goal is $10,000. You can go to cwsc.us and press the blue button in the top right corner of the presentation page of our website. Press the blue donate button and make a secure, convenient, one-time or recurring tax-deductible contribution. Or you can call in live to the studio right now to pledge your support at 515-605-9891. Or continue to listen to our 24-hour programming through by way of 701-719-4197. And at a convenient time for you, then you can go to cwsc.us and click on the donate button and contribute whatever your heart desires. Now, you can call in any hour of the day to our comment line. Again, that's 910-317-0297. Share a comment. And again, you can tweet us at CWSHURAA or Facebook. Like us on Facebook, by the way. That's Community Wide Shura Conference. Now, for those who may be mailing in your contribution, we thank you for being here and being an avid listener to American Muslim 360 broadcast presenters. But you want to mail in your money or check, your money order or check, not money. Let's make sure that you understand. I'm saying mail in your money order or check to CWSC Inc. That's CWSC, INC. And you make the check payable to CWSC Inc. You mail it to The address would be CWSC Marina Village. Marina Village, 4905 34th, that's 34 Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. We will be repeating this information just in case that was stated a little fast for those who are writing it down. We will be repeating it again. You can know that you can gift with confidence. AM360 is always a part of the CWSC nonprofit family and is the CUT eligible, earning the highest exchange platinum rating for our commitment to data transparency from GuideStar. GuideStar is the nation's number one data hub for nonprofit research. Your contributions help fund Intelligentsia operations, including American Muslim 360 Broadcasting, Scholarship Administration, Think Tank, Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, that's the MCNRD, whose director is Depreta Hadi, and the Scholarship Administration Director is Principal Quran Shakir. Still looking for a Director for Speakers Bureau and the Think Tank and the National Volunteer Resource Network. Community-wide Share Conference, Inc. is a tax-exempt public charity under Section, the IRS Code, Section 501c3. That's of the, again, of the Internal Revenue Code. And it is qualified to receive bequests, devices, transfers, or gifts under Sections 2055, 2106, or 2252 of the Internal Revenue Code. Contributions are fully tax deductible as allowed by law, and our federal tax ID number that you want to use for your tax exempt information, the number is 46-3505-809. Again, our tax ID, federal tax ID number is 46-3505-809. And as we always say, together we can remake the world. Again, I am Martha Naila Abdullah, your host for this afternoon, and it gives me great pleasure to be right here airing for this hour. We're asking you to press one on your phone and make your comments. Prayerfully, you're able to make a pledge, but if not, don't let that hold you back. Your contribution of your voice, your information, it is a warm-heartedness that you are sharing. So please, press one on your phone. If you were here during the days with Thomas Abdul Salam in the beginning, then please share. Share your time connecting with CWSC and AM360. We welcome you. Please, if you want us to open your mic, press 1. We will open your mic. Share the load with us right now as we are so grateful, number one. We want to thank Almighty God for even allowing us this opportunity because we know that many things could be happening to us or to anyone of the human family, and we know that we've learned of different individuals transitioning, and I'd like to share with you that a very dear person of Muslim Journal, I learned, has transitioned as of this morning. I have to get the name again. Imam Abdulaziz will be on this evening to share that information with us. So as always, we know that verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of everything, life and death, as life and death is one. So we ask that the family the bereaving family, of all loved ones, that you know that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're saying, highly glorified is the Creator. We ask that ease and comfort be granted to you, I mean, and that your loved ones, as they are forgiven their errors and accepted into the, we say accepted, how we, from our heart, mean is that none of us know the heart of anyone, only Allah, only Almighty God. And our actions here on earth, starting out with our intention, whatever we do, whatever we are engaged with, we still offer and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show favor to those who transition and grant them a high station in paradise. And may those words be spoken of us as we transition at the time that will be due. Amen. All right, dear listening audience, we're going to take this moment now and take a pause for the cause, because the cause is $10,000, the goal for CWSC AM 360 2019 end of the year telethon. Thank you for being here with us, and we want you to like us on Facebook. Don't forget, if you have any comments, please tweet us at CWSHURAA, or you can go to CWSC at CWSC.us on the website. And as you browse through the intelligentsia at various times, you can leave comments right there on the page for whatever you are reading. Yes, there's so much to be shared. And when we return, we will be discussing the crew. And we will be discussing A Time to Be Grateful, the Muslim Journal, how much it has offered to our to the world. I was about to say our community, but the world. The Muslim Journal is being read all over in places we have yet to be known. So stay with us. We'll be right back, God willing.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Dr. Askir Muhammad, and I want to talk to you about something that strikes at the very core of our family and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of faith or religion or socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as the broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses, and that helped us to see an even deeper and systematic long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stockroom to the boardroom. To see real change, though, and to help move these injustices out of the dark and into the light, we're going to need you and me, or a We Too movement, in which we say no more. We must also be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other counselors. Hold workshops in your community. Invite experts to learn more and talk about it in individual conversation. We want respect for our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and all the women in our society. And that means equal protection and equal respect for their intellect, their work, and their total person. So what are you willing to do? A public service message from the CWSC and AM 360.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, acting CEO for American Muslim 360, with a special greeting.
The following message supports a CWSC interfaith collaborative to help bring 21st century job and career opportunities through accelerated education to communities nationwide, and especially to historically disadvantaged communities and communities of color. For more information on CWSC faith-based health, jobs, and financial literacy initiatives, visit cwsc.us. Together, we can remake the world.
On the next episode of Community Buzz, we'll be sharing some of the events happening around the country and taking your calls, and we'll be sharing a major update on the 2020 CWSC AM360 National Intelligence Year Interfaith Cruise to Cozumel. Join us on Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Community Buzz, AM360's weekly magazine show, where we ask, have you heard? Every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Don't miss it. Assalamu alaikum.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Enjoying the program you're listening to and imagining being part of the solution? You don't have to imagine. Now, wherever you live, wherever you work, you can go beyond the dialogue and network with others committed to being part of the solution. CWSC and AM360 connect you to the Model Communities National Resource Directory. Register your skills, knowledge, and abilities today at cwsc.us. Because words make people, but it will take people to remake the world.
In the morning, about a quarter to five, did I bow my head and my knees, and I prayed each and every day, as I go on my way.
I would like to say we want to thank all our listening audience for joining us. We know that you depend on American Muslim 360 to bring you quality program you can't get anywhere else. So I'm going to ask you this morning to keep us on air and help us to continue this quality program by supporting American Muslim 360 with your contribution. So go now to cwsc.us on your computer, tablet, smartphone, or whatever device Allah has blessed you with, and make your contribution today. American Muslim 360 is believer-supported radio. Now, something I want, so we need you to go right now to cwsc.us and make a contribution. Our most popular giving level is $9.99 a month. You can give online right now. It's secure, convenient, and allows each of you to do our part to help remake the world. With each of us doing our small part, together we can remake the world. And if you'd like to phone your pledge in, a representative can assist you right now. Dial 910-317-0297. Yes, that's 910-317-0297. Jazakallah khair. Kind. CWSD and American Muslim 360 appreciate your support.
Did I bow my head, my knees?
and I pray and I thank Allah brought me through this day so far, and it's over.
Oh, what a beautiful sound. You know that sound? You know that voice? That is the voice of Imam Wilmore Minka Siddiqui from right here in the lovely city, the Sunshine City of the Sunshine State, St. Petersburg, Florida. This is Martha Naila Abdullah, your host for this afternoon, 2019, end of the year, CWSC Telethon. And we're asking for your support, your continued support, and we're thankful for those who have supported in the past year, the past years, whatever time that you've contributed. If you've contributed in volunteering your hours, your time, to share what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is the one God, what Allah has blessed you with, nothing is taken for granted. As you go to cwsc.us, you will see the number of hours that individuals have contributed and what that means in dollars. But we do need the dollars as well. So we're taking this time this week out of this year, 2019, on the Gregorian calendar to share with you more of what we've shared during the year. If you have any questions you'd like to ask, please press 1 on your phone and we will open your mic and hear your question and prayerfully we'll be able to answer. And then sometimes you may have information you'd like to share. And I'm sure you've heard about the Community Buzz. You just heard the presentation about what comes on during Community Buzz as a part of Community Buzz. And that is the upcoming cruise from March 5th through March 9th, March of 2020. We will be connecting, many of us will be connecting on March 4th to have activities right here on the grounds in the Tampa Bay area. Look forward to hear more as we close in on that date. I want to share a brief presentation with you. And I'm sure you've heard many lectures. Now, we've shared lectures from Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, and there are other lecturers that we've shared here. But I was listening to Numan Ali Khan. I'm not sure if many of you know of him. And then I was listening to a presentation of Dr. Susie Ismail. Now, Numan Ali Khan was speaking about Eve, about the surah Inshura, and how we, when we think of it or when we say about the Eve, and we say with every difficulty. In other words, we put the difficulty first, and then we say the ease is already there. Then comes the ease. But he pointed out that the yusra, the ease, is presented first. Verily, the ease, with the ease there is the difficulty, but the ease is the most prevalent. And just think about that for a moment. And when we approach any kind of situation, that we approach it with understanding that the Creator has already appreciatively granted ease rather than putting the difficult situation first and foremost. So we approach any situation, any condition, any time of anything, appreciate that the ease is there. The ease is there. And let the ease be most present in our thinking. Just a suggestion, right? And now Dr. Susie Ismail was presenting at the Islamic Circle of North America. And she was discussing how, when we talk with younger generations, how the language, we may say, we speak English. You speak English? Yes, I speak English. And so when we are speaking with the younger generation, and their words are coming out in English form as well. But where is the disconnect? How does disconnect occur?
And this is what Dr. Susie Ismail presented, was that there's a different tongue. She pointed to a verse, and I can't remember just right now what verse that was, but she pointed out that the tongue, meaning the speech that is being used, there's a variety of speech and there's a lack of understanding of that speech. And the codes, it becomes a speech. It becomes a speech congruent to a time. And so I, born in the 50s, I have a certain speech that I connected with, understood with my peers, that was unlike the speech that my mom and her peers had. Well, expect the same with each generation. And so we're in a generation now that there's so much, there's even groups of speeches, tongues of speech amongst different groups. And since we are not aware, she was recognizing the speech differences and acknowledging that we need to become more aware. We need to face the challenging questions that the children are faced with, the situations, the acceptance of certain moral conditions, moral situations that is unlike those that we generally, faith-based family, present in their home. But it doesn't have to be that we lose that communication connection. And that was her point. So I was hoping that we could share a brief part of Newman Ali or Dr. Susie as we present here the end of the year telethon, the 2019 CWSC end of the year telethon, asking for all support from, we believe it's supported from our contributors to help go beyond even the $10,000. Yes, as it has been brought out, $10,000 is not a great feat. F-E-A-T, not F-E-E-T. F-E-A-T. So if you want to make any comments or you want to share, you want to press 1 on your phone, please, by all means, take the time to do so. We're here for you, and we intend to be back here at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As I stated, Imam Abdul Aziz will be on. He stated that he will be traveling to a location, but look forward to his connection anywhere between 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So God willing, we will have a powwow, if you can say, time tonight. But we don't want to just make this a blank time, but we do want to share with you in something that may put a thought on your mind. All right? So give me a moment, and we'll bring that up. That I'm referring to is Imam Newman Ali Khan. And prayerfully, that will be more in line with what we're speaking about, the ease. Now, there is one lecture that he shares that talks about the contributions that we make. And I think we're pretty aware of the hadith, and I'm taking for granted, right, a whole lot. When I say hadith, I'm referring to the sayings or the written indicators of the prophet's life, those who lived and saw and wrote the prophet's actions and what he said and what he did in connection with different eras, different time spans, you know, when he was eating or when he was having communication with the companions or having communication with the wives or having communication with the business people. What happened? What transpired? You want to know more about that? You can go to, there's some very, very good information there, but you want to reach out for the sound hadith. Sound hadith, as we would say, Sahih, right? Sahih Bukhari or Sahih Muslim, and even ones with, and then you note Who's the reporter? Is it Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, or is it whoever? You know, look at the reporter. And then look at the various reports that are made. Out of the various reports, which ones that you would say that are closer to the sahih, the best presentation after you look at the germane root of what is being presented. All right? I could give some examples, but right now we want to go, I'm going to share this particular. Now, this was a presentation. I don't know if you remember, for those listeners that were here 2 years ago listening, I want you to hear this. And this, now, this is about women in business. So you perhaps have heard this presentation. I'm just going to play a little snippet of that, of African-American women in business. All right? And we're going to play snippets of various presentations.
Saturday, July the 25th, and he brought all the ladies back together to kind of have a conversation about what's like to be a woman in business and what inspired you. You have 15 years, 30 years?
Many years.
And I have 125. So let's start with you. What about some of the pitfalls that you've had? What are the great things and also the pitfalls? You spoke about the business. I heard you saying on our break, they really don't have a good idea of what they're getting into until they're into it.
Yeah, and I can definitely vouch. Because there's times where I think, well, it would have been a lot easier to go work for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But going to work for someone else was not ever a desire than just what I did with my mentor, which was Miss. But I come from a family of entrepreneurs, so I didn't want to work for anyone because they would make me compromise my skill.
Mm-hmm.
They would put me in a box, and I would lose the integrity of my skill because they wouldn't allow me to do the things that are more healthier for
mm-hmm.
the hair. So that was more of the reason why I went back.
Okay. Arlinda, we know your story. You actually worked in the industry and talked about it before. You actually, what we haven't talked about on this show, you have ADHD. And in spite of that, I mean, you have a multi-million-dollar business with 4,000 employees, several locations throughout the country.
Yes, I have a multitude of businesses, and yes, I was working in the industry. And what empowered me is similar. You know, I was working in different places, and it wasn't that they didn't want to do the things that
mm-hmm.
I wanted to do. It was that their mission didn't allow it. So if I wanted to do things for people, it took for them to have a whole, you know, church dinner to just
mm-hmm.
go buy a refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, we just need to buy them a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking at it and saying, I like to run a for-profit business with a non-profit heart, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Wow.
And so I started looking at the service industry and saying, this is what people do not want to do. When you have a bunch of shareholders
mm-hmm.
and everybody's making one decision about, like you say,
mm-hmm.
can I do something
mm-hmm.
more healthy? And it's like, I just think we just need to not meet about this. Let's
right.
just buy them a bag
mm-hmm.
of groceries. Those, you know, that was the real reason. Is usually a lot of people get into business when they're not really about business. You know, when you're about your business and you love your business
mm-hmm.
and you love the people you work for, what you do. For me, I loved what I did. I just couldn't do enough of it the way I wanted to when
mm-hmm.
I worked in the industry for other people.
Now, you have a full-time job, correct?
I do.
And like many people, you know, they have a full-time job. They still fulfill their passion, do their own thing. You're an author. I mean, what made you think you could be an author?
I was talking to people about some of the same things over and over and over, and it's like, this is really good information that I'm sharing, and I think it would be great to put it in a small guide, and that way it just, they'll have it at their fingertips
mm-hmm.
because there are worksheets inside of there, because I'm a visual person, and I believe that others are oftentimes as well. So when you can actually see your goals written down with specificity to
mm-hmm.
them and to the point, I think you're more apt to accomplish those things. And so that's how I end up just taking a wealth of information that I had acquired and work with a book coach and put it in a book. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was your biggest risk?
I won't say there was a big risk for me. Because when you say risk, that's not having faith or believing in yourself. So I won't say it was a big risk because I know what I can do and I know what I want to give back to people. I wanted a business that wouldn't be, as you would say, a risk. So I wouldn't say that would be in my vocabulary.
Okay.
What was the risk here?
As far as sacrifices, which have you made, you think?
You know, you forgo things that other people, you know, take for granted. You can't go out with your friends, and you can't, you know, sometimes I couldn't make my son, you know, games when he played football or lacrosse. You know, you think for the greater good. So you forego a lot of things. You see people at weddings and say, how old is your child now? You know, and they're like, oh, she's 20. And it's like, I've seen her when she was born.
Uh-huh.
You know, you forego a lot of things people take for granted. When you want to go and you can't go because you have to be dedicated for tomorrow.
That's very true. And now you're talking about some of the realities that people think because they have a skill that's automatically a business. Or because they have a passion, they think that that can be profitable. So, you know, what do you tell people as a coach when they have this idea or so many ideas and you try to bring them back down to earth? Because passion is strong.
Exactly, because I usually ask, is it a business or is it a hobby?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that you can actually sustain yourself with as a business? And I encourage them to reach out to others who have been successful, because oftentimes we think we can't reach out to somebody who's doing the same business that
right.
we are or we aspire to because they're going to be jealous and they're not going to help us. That's not true all the time, but you have to be thick-skinned enough that if someone doesn't answer your questions, that you pursue someone else, because someone out there is definitely willing to share that expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And once you hear what it is that this person is saying, it's like, I really hadn't thought of all of those things.
Right.
So
uh-huh.
maybe I need to reevaluate this.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that you don't do it as a hobby and on the side, but you don't quit your day job
right.
and start from
uh-huh.
it.
Yeah. And that's a good point, because for those who are just tuning in, we are having our women's conference July the 25th, and we are talking about some issues that people need to think about to not just start a business. We talked about starting a business for years, but we seldom told people, how do you sustain to make it to 30 years, 15 years, 25 years, and as you say, many, many years of business. And so our mission with this conference is to get people to think bigger, jump higher, and leap. And we have some of our speakers here talking about basically sustaining and growing. And then as we wrap up, I will ask, what is the greatest thing that you have learned, good, bad, or indifferent? I'll ask all of you, what have you learned in all these years that is the most valuable thing to you?
For myself, it would be patience.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely had to learn patience. And as she mentioned earlier, it's a lot of sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people look at a business owner, oh, that business owner. No, it's a big sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Everything she just said, you know, it's a plus, but it's a good thing. You know, of course, you make a nice living. However, but sacrifice.
And then you're being willing to, but some folks are willing
Listen,
to. Yeah.
Whether or not
mm-hmm.
you think you're going to.
Mm-hmm.
You're thrown in, or you have to be
Think
done.
Swim. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You
yes,
have to be
exactly.
done, and you have to realize it. And I think the sacrifice
mm-hmm.
is the biggest thing
mm-hmm.
that you have to realize. People say, well, I could sacrifice.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
listening audience, thank you once again. This is Martha.
Enjoying the program you're listening to and imagining being part of the solution? You don't have to imagine. Now, wherever you live, wherever you work, you can go beyond the dialogue and network with others committed to being part of the solution. CWSC and AM360 connect you to the Model Communities National Resource Directory. Register your skills.
All right. I apologize for that, dear listening audience. This is Martha Naila Abdullah, your host for this afternoon's presentation of the 2019 CWSC End of the Year Telethon. You were listening to a little excerpt of women, African American women in business. And I'm sure you heard some exciting information of what they had to share and the variety of reasons that they were in business. And I heard the main focus was making that sacrifice, right? Making that sacrifice and not wanting to be inundated with the regular or quote unquote corporate America or corporate any situation, but putting forth the effort to be in business and have a life governed by their process of thought rather than by someone else's. Now, I want to correct some information, and you may have heard, many of you may have already gotten the news of the, I mentioned about transitioning and who transitioned. Today, our prayers are with the wife of Wallace Deen Muhammad II, his wife, Robin Muhammad. Again, the wife of Wallace Deen Muhammad II, wife transitioned this morning. That's the information that we were receiving from Imam Abdul Aziz, and Mark Shaheed just called to confirm again the name. I did not get the name clear enough. So the name is Robin Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with her, forgive her her sins, her errors, and grant her a high station in paradise. We know that the family need our prayers, as well as whatever support that we can lend. You know, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hold us close whenever any occurrence of transitioning. When it happens, it is never an easy process for anyone, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring the ease. And may that be, I mean. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come back and correct that. By all means, if you want to join us here live right now in the next 5 to 6 minutes, please dial 515-605-9891. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, the host for this hour and for this evening from 6 to 9 p.m. That time serves you best to join us. Please, by all means, again, dial 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Go to our website, cwsc.us, and on the top right, press the blue donate button. Join us in our efforts to reach our goal of $10,000. We appreciate you being here, and we are believer-supported, and we know that you find comfort in being right here where your voice is protected, your intellect respected, and your words. Your words come across very clear on American Muslim 360 broadcast. And there are listeners here, meaning in the United States of America and abroad. So don't be surprised if someone says, I've heard your voice before. And you will recall making your voice be heard on American Muslim 360 broadcast. We want to share another little, really, a 1-2 minute excerpt, because at this time of the year, we know that so much is going on, but this is a spoken word. You remember Maya Angelou? Join me in listening.
We rise.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Just because I walk as if I have oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like suns and like moons, with the certainty of tides, just like hope springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my sassiness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh. As if I have gold mines digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words. You can cut me with your lies. You can kill me with your hatefulness. But just like life, I'll rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh. Does it come as a surprise that I dance? As if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. A black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak miraculously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the hope and the dream of the slave. And so, naturally, there I go rising.
I rise. Yes. Ever so dear to our hearts. Dear listening audience, we have approached the top of the hour, and we appreciate your being here. We appreciate your taking the time and the middle of the day. And let me acknowledge one thing also. The community here, the Community Wise Shura Conference, when you go to cwsc.us, and you will notice our vision and mission. You will also notice Quran, Hadith, and the words of wisdom of Imam Waris Deen Muhammad, Rahimullah Alayh. Prayer is very important. So when we were deciding on the time to present and to come before you with the telethon, the end of the year telethon, we had in our heart and mind the frequency of our prayers, so we know that we will be approaching the hour for Salatul Asr. And we pray that you keep in prayer and make dua for all those who have transitioned. And remember our dear sister, Robin Muhammad. Ameen. Thank you for joining us here. We're going to leave out now with a few words. And these words are from Imam Numan Ali that says, Allah is more capable than you. Yes. We know that God is more capable than any of us. Please enjoy.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. So you guys came back for more. I thought I scared you enough last week to make you not come back. But we continue in the 40 hadith on social justice class that we have. And I just want to remind people that, inshallah, we have notes being compiled, professional notes being compiled from each class. And if you go to yaqeeninstitute.org and you subscribe to the email list, inshallah, then every week they're going to be emailed to you, inshallah. And at the end of this, it'll be compiled into a manual, into a book. And what I realized is we should have called it 100 hadith on social justice, because I have over 100, I think, by the time I get through with this. But we'll still try to categorize at least in 40 chapters, inshallah. As I told you all last week, it starts off, the first, I'd say, 7 classes are about methodology. The last 33 are about specific issues. But it's important to build this methodology so that we can properly contextualize and understand the issues and what's due upon us when we deal with the issues. So the chapter that we'll cover today, if you guys remember last week when we talked about the gravity of injustice, I said that zulm, people commit zulm out of a false sense of what? Does anyone remember? I said it. It was one sentence. A false sense of power. A person commits zulm, a person wrongs and oppresses out of a false feeling, a false sense of power. So the narration that I'll share with you is actually a story. It's from Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And there are 3 narrations, 2 in Sahih Muslim, one in Sunan Abi Dawud, that I'm merging together so that you get the full story. Okay, so it's 3 narrations put into one, describing the same incident that Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari says happened to him. Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was one of the noble people of Medina. So he's one of the rich, wealthy companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the nobles of Medina. He says, كُنْتُ أَضْرِبُ غُلَامًا. He starts off this narration, he says that I was once beating a slave. So he's talking about himself. He says, كُنْتُ أَضْرِبُ غُلَامًا. He says, while I was hitting the slave, he says, فَسَمِعْتُ صَوْتًا مِنْ خَلْفِي. I heard a voice from behind me. And the voice screamed, اِعْلَمْ أَبَا مَسْعُودٍ. Know, O Abu Mas'ud. And when you say i'lam in the Arabic language, you're not just saying no, you're saying beware. Like, be careful, O Abu Mas'ud. I'lam Aba Mas'ud. He said, فَلَمْ أَفْهَمِ السَّلْطَ مِنَ الْغَضَبِ. He said that I couldn't distinguish who was saying that because of the anger in the voice. You know, when you hear someone's angry voice, it's a different type of voice. So I couldn't even tell who it was that was saying that to me because of the anger in the tone. اعلم أبا مسعود. He says, فلما دنا مني. He says that as the voice came close to me, as the person came close to me, I mean, he's engaged in beating a slave right now. Someone can go around and get the kids from the back, inshallah ta'ala, one of the board members or someone, inshallah. So he says that while I'm beating the slave, so he's engaged and to the point that he's in this act of rage, he doesn't even recognize the voice behind him. And he says it was an angry voice. So he says, as he came close to me, فَإِذَا هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He said, then I noticed that it was the voice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Can you imagine? He's in this wild rage, beating a slave, and someone is screaming at him, saying, no, O Abu Mas'ud, be careful, O Abu Mas'ud. And then he comes to find out that it's the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So what do you think he's overcome by? What do you think he does? He says, فَأَلْقَيْتُ السَّوْطَ مِنْ يَدِي. He says that the whip, I dropped the whip from my hand. And the Prophet ﷺ looked at me. And he said, اعلم أبا مسعود. Know, O Abu Mas'ud, أن الله أقدر عليك منك على هذا الغلام. Allah is more capable of doing that to you than you are to that young man. Allah has more power over you than you have over that man. فقلت هو حر لوجه الله. So I said to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, he's free for the sake of Allah. Immediately he freed him on the spot. فقال. So the Prophet ﷺ said, أما لو لم تفعل للفحتك النار أو قال لمستك النار. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, had you not freed him, then the fire would have engulfed you or the fire would have touched you. A narration says لفحتك or لمستك. So the fire would have consumed you had you not freed that man for the sake of Allah. Again, I merged several ahadith here, 3 ahadith actually, and this narration is narrated throughout the books of hadith. It's authentic through many different narrations, and there are many lessons we can take from this. So I'm going to start off with this incident in particular, and then we will focus on the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah has more power over you than you have over that young man. Allah is more capable of doing that to you than you are of doing that to that young man. Now, there are a few things to take from this hadith. Number one, the ulama say here, the scholars say here, that one of the best ways, the most beautiful and humble ways to give advice is to reflect on your own experience. Like Abu Mas'ud is teaching the ummah a lesson, and he's embarrassing himself right in the process. I mean, he's saying something very unpleasant about what he did before he had that knowledge, before he came to know. So he's giving this advice as an old man to all the young people. A second thing, in one narration, Abu Mas'ud says at the end of the narration, he says, I never hit a slave after that. Like, I never, after that incident, I never hit anyone else after that. So he made tawbah, he repented, he learned his lesson from that incident. But he's telling other people what the Prophet ﷺ said to him. There's another thing we take from this narration, there are several things. The Prophet ﷺ's voice was so angry that it was unrecognizable. Think about this as a person living in Medina. How different did the voice of the Prophet ﷺ have to be that a man who hears his khutbas, a man who hears his halaqas, a man who's accompanying the Prophet ﷺ all the time, could not recognize the voice of the Prophet ﷺ because of the anger of the Prophet ﷺ. And some of the scholars say that, you know, what the narration really implies is that he himself was in such a fit of anger that he didn't recognize the voice, right? But the point is, the Prophet ﷺ's voice was so angry, and he was so angry that he didn't have that recognition. And that happens, right, when you're in that moment. Like, there's the famous hadith of the woman that was in the graveyard, and she was saying inappropriate things. She was mourning someone that she lost, and she was saying these things that are not appropriate to say. It's okay to mourn, but not appropriate to say. And the Prophet ﷺ told her to be patient, and she said, what do you know of my situation? She didn't recognize that it was the voice of the Prophet ﷺ in those moments. But this is the anger in the voice of the Prophet ﷺ. And yes, as Aisha radiallahu anha says, وَمَنْ تَقَمَ لِنَفْسِهِ قَطْ The Prophet ﷺ never got angry for himself. Like, the Prophet ﷺ would not yell like that, or he would not show that anger because someone said something to him. But if the boundaries of Allah were transgressed, the Prophet ﷺ, يَنْتَقِمُ لِلَّهِ would get angry for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, yes, our Messenger ﷺ got mad. One of the worst portrayals of the Prophet ﷺ to me is to turn the Prophet ﷺ into a passive man who was passive in the face of violence, passive in the face of aggression, who allowed oppression to take place, injustice to reign in society, and not say anything. That's not our Messenger ﷺ. You can't make rahmatan lil alameen, and you know, a mercy to the world, more merciful than Allah has made him. So when you try to take out of the Prophet ﷺ's character his sense of justice, you're doing injustice to the character of the Messenger ﷺ. Yes, our Prophet ﷺ raised his voice. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ's face became red. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ, when he got angry for Allah, it was an anger that terrified the Sahaba. Not that he would kill people or hit people or spit or curse, but they knew the severity of what they had done. So seeing the Prophet ﷺ, you imagine the Messenger ﷺ yelling at you in such a loud voice that you can't even recognize his voice. Another subtlety we take from this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "I'lam Abu Mas'ud." Know, O Abu Mas'ud. And this is a very interesting point from the Quran. There are many verses in the Quran, "I'lamu," know. And many of the scholars of tafsir, the first one I believe, Imam al-Qushayri, rahimahullah ta'ala, and Lata'if, he pointed out that every time Allah uses the word "I'lamu," know, the next ayah is a call to action. So it's the natural response of the believer when someone says to you in a severe way, know, like beware, think, understand, that the next ayah you need to do something serious because this is serious knowledge for you to act on. So every ayah in the Quran that uses ilm, the next verse is one of amal. Every ayah of Quran that calls you to think and know, the next verse is one that calls you to action as well. There's another thing. Notice that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say to him, why are you hitting him? Because that's irrelevant to the discussion. One of the worst things that we do when we see zulm
is we think somehow that the dhulm is justified. Right? So, you know, one of the imams was actually sharing this with me. He said that I was sitting with a group of about 20 men, young men, youth. And I asked them, if you heard that a man was hitting his wife, what's the first thing that would come to your mind? What's the first thing you would say? And like half of them said, what did she do to deserve it? Or what did she do to make him hit her? Not necessarily deserve, but what did she do for him to hit her? That's not the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For all the Prophet sees, the man could have done something terrible. This young slave or servant could have done something horrible. But the Prophet doesn't care. Because your action is unjustified, take responsibility for your action. It's not even appropriate to even ask that question or to use that as an excuse. Well, if that's the case, then don't hit him that hard. Right? That's not the way the Prophet functioned. The Messenger saw that action, the Prophet intervened at that moment. There's another hadith, it's actually in Sahih Muslim, that Umayr, and Umayr was a freed slave. And so he was freed by his master. He says that my master commanded me to cut some meat into strips. So I was cooking for my master. And he said that as I was doing that, a poor man came to me. So I gave him some of that meat. When my master came home, he hit me for giving away that meat to the poor. So he said, so I went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain to him. The Prophet called for my master. So he summoned him. And look, did the man do something wrong? Technically, it's not your food. Right? Technically, why'd you give away? That's not your food. It doesn't belong to you. You didn't pay for it, right? So technically, if you want to twist it that way, but you could say technically he did something wrong. So the Prophet said to him, why did you hit him? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, he gave away the food without asking me. Like, that was my food. And he gave it away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-ajru baynakuma." Wouldn't the ajr be for both of you then? If he gave away your food, if it was your food, wouldn't you share in the reward then? Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't justify his action. You transgressed. You cannot hit. You should not act in that way. So that's another very important lesson we take. You know, and a lot of times when people start to arbitrate, well, that is pretty far. No. No zulm justifies a zulm in response. No transgression justifies a transgression in response. Another thing we take from this hadith. When the man heard the Prophet ﷺ, again, immediately, he dropped the whip, haybatan li Rasulillah, out of shyness to the Prophet ﷺ. Like, I can't believe I just ignored the Prophet ﷺ yelling at me. And he caught me in this evil deed. And the Prophet ﷺ still told him what? He said, if you wouldn't have done it, you would have gone to hell. Like the Prophet ﷺ didn't let up and say, you know what, okay, jazakallah khair. The Prophet ﷺ said, had you not done that, Allah would have consumed you with the fire. Why? I'm going to ask one of you guys to have the answer. What's the wisdom in the Prophet ﷺ saying that to him? After he let the man go. What's the wisdom of the Prophet ﷺ saying that? For everyone else, that's one wisdom. So as a lesson to others, because he knows, and subhanAllah, Abu Mas'ud narrates this on his own behalf. Again, he would go on to narrate the story, so it's a lesson for everyone else. What else? Yeah. To teach you to make up for your sins, absolutely. There's one more that I'm looking for. I don't know if any of you guys will catch it. Yeah. To show Allah can give greater punishment than he can. Yeah. But there's something important here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling him that so that he would not return to the sin, so he would not do it to someone else. So he doesn't mistake what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw and think it's just an isolated incident. And that's why Abu Mas'ud says, after that, I never hit another slave again. I never struck anyone again. Right? Because I understood that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted this to be a life-changing lesson. Abu Mas'ud also, in this incident, he didn't just say, like when the Prophet ﷺ caught him, did the Prophet ﷺ actually tell him to free the slave? No, he didn't. He just told him, اعلم يا أبا مسعود. Beware, O Abu Mas'ud. Think. Think about what you're doing. And when he said, هو حر لوجه الله, he is free for the sake of Allah, the Prophet ﷺ never told him to. He could have just said, استغفر الله, I'm sorry, right? But he didn't. Now, by the way, the kafara, the expiation, that the Prophet ﷺ said, if anyone hits ضربه if anyone was to hit their servant or to hit their slave, then they would go free. Like the kafara, the only expiation was to go free. But still, the Prophet ﷺ didn't even tell him at that point yet to let him go. But the man recognized it right away that I need to release this man. He understood right away that he had to let this man go free. Many things we can take from that. It's a lesson that in undoing injustice, it is not enough to simply seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The essential component of repentance from a dhulm that's done to someone else is to undo the injustice to the best of your ability. So if you backbite someone, for example, you harm their reputation, the best way or the greatest form of repentance is not just to say astaghfirullah, not even to seek forgiveness from the person, though that's a component, but to undo the damage you did to their reputation, to speak well of them in the company of those who you spoke ill of them in. So to try to undo that damage, that's an essential component of repentance when you actually harm someone. The Prophet ﷺ also told him that the fire would have consumed you. And the Prophet ﷺ did not tell him, for example, that you wouldn't have entered into paradise, because the Prophet ﷺ was using the appropriate warning at the time. Like, you need to understand, you would have been burned by the fire. And it's actually interesting, because the scholars point out, al-lafh in the Arabic language, is al-isaba fil wajh, is for something to hit your face. Okay? So when the Prophet ﷺ says the fire would have burned your face, why did he say that to him? Because he was hitting the man in his face. So you would have faced the same punishment, well, you know, even more, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have carried out the exact same treatment on you. The way you treated that man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have treated you. You hit him in the face, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have burned your face. So this is a severe hadith. It's a severe warning. But the main sentence that I want to focus on is Allah is more capable of doing that to you than you are of doing that to him. The man thought, Abu Mas'ud thought he was in charge. He felt a sense of power, and power can be intoxicating. Because when you have power, and power is not necessarily, and this is actually one of the main problems, I want you guys to be able to relate to these ahadith. Power is not necessarily settling on a throne. Power is being able to control a situation with no accountability. Being in a situation where, especially when it involves another party in particular, and you are fully in control of that situation and you don't have checks, you don't have accountability. That's power. So sometimes as a person grows in their power, they start to feel a sense of invincibility. That, you know what, I can get away with stuff. So I'll start off with a little bit of dhulm, a little transgression. Then I realize I'm getting away with it. So then I move on to a greater form of dhulm, because I realize I got away with that now. And so you start to actually deceive yourself into thinking you're in control of the situation. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reminding us we have no control over the situation. We are utterly powerless in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God has full power. We have no power. You are antumul fuqara ila Allah. You're all in need of God. Allah doesn't need you. You need Him. You have no power in the situation. So that's why usually when you have a zalim on a state, think about on a governing level, because unfortunately usually that's where we take oppression to. When someone gets away with a violation, what do? They do more. In an abusive relationship, when someone gets away with abuse, what do? They get more abusive. In a business relationship, when someone gets away with stealing or taking something or doing something, what do? They start to take more. This is who we are as people. We start to, unfortunately, we graduate into greater forms of dhulm when we've gotten away with smaller forms of dhulm. Now, the scholars also mention here that dhulm has darakat. It has degrees. You know, darajat refers to higher degrees. Like, there are darajat of good deeds. Darakat refers to lower degrees. So just like good deeds have darajat, sins have darakat. So dhulm has darakat. There are worse forms of transgression than others. And the scholars mention three. The first one, the worst of the worst types of dhulm, the worst types of oppression, is to oppress someone who has a great right over you, meaning they should be receiving your khayr, they should be receiving your good, they should not be receiving your shar, they should not be receiving your ill, your evil. So who's the worst person in the world that you could wrong? Your mother. Because if there's anyone who has an unconditional right over you from human beings, it's literally the person who produced you, your mother, right? So it's the worst sin in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after shirk in terms of treating, as far as treatment's concerned, right? To treat your mother to the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala associated the parents in obedience. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. That you on, that you worship only Allah and that you show ihsan to your parents. Allah put it in the same breath. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you a purpose of existence. And He's the ultimate cause of your existence. But the medium through which you physically exist is your parents. So their right upon you is unconditional. Unless, again, unless they are, you know, obstructing your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it's dangerous to be around them, right? But generally speaking, the worst type of sin, or the worst type of dhulm, is dhulm towards someone that you owe. Dhulm towards someone that has a great right over you. You know, Imam Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, you know, just take this down, someone that did good for you. He said that, I'm amazed by a person who eats from his brother's food, who takes from his brother's money, who enjoys his brother's company, but when he's in his absence, he responds to that with nothing but a sab wa shatm. Right, he starts to curse him and he starts to backbite him. I mean, this person did something for you. When someone gave you khayr, gave you something good, and your response is evil, then it makes the evil worse than the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first thing. The first daraka, or the first low point of dhulm, is to show dhulm to someone who has a great right upon you. Your mother, your father, and then it goes from there. Number two, someone beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. من عاد لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب. Hadith Qudsi, Allah says, whoever shows enmity to one of my beloved ones, to one of my awliya, فقد آذنته بالحرب. I have waged war on him. You are at war with Allah. Can you imagine that? Allah has waged war upon you. And you know, the scholars, because the rest of the hadith goes on, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُ عَلَيْهِ, and so on. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts mentioning that my servant comes close to me with the obligatory deeds, and then he comes close to me with the nawafil, with the voluntary deeds. You know, one of the scholars of hadith, he said that, notice Allah started off with this because even if you do fara'id, then you do nawafil, you do obligatory good deeds and voluntary good deeds, but you harmed one of Allah's awliya, it'll negate all of that, because we already talked about that, personal sins versus sins of oppression. So you could do all the voluntary good deeds in the world, but if you've committed dhulm towards one of his awliya, towards someone that's beloved to him, and the tricky part of it in Islam is that no one knows who the awliya are. we don't like have that class. They are secret, akhfiya, hidden amongst Allah's creation. You know, you could be saying things about them or doing things about, or you know, harming them, and you don't know who these people really are. That person might be someone beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My teacher, Sheikh Hatim al-Hajj, he shared with us last week, and it was such a powerful statement. He shared a statement from Yahya bin Ma'in, rahimahullah ta'ala, that sometimes we curse people, and they have settled under the throne of Allah 200 years ago. Meaning what? Like, you're cursing someone who passed away, or you're saying something bad about someone who passed away, and that person is already settled under the throne of God, and you're talking ill of them. And Yahya bin Ma'in said, sometimes we're talking about, you know, we start debating the past and stuff like that. You're cursing people, and they're already settled under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, watch out. Think about who you're talking to. When you write something online and you abuse someone, you say something harmful to someone, or write something harmful, that person might appear to be semi-religious. But what about that woman, the zaniya that gave water to the thirsty dog, was a waliya of Allah in some capacity, right? You have no idea. That person might be a wali from awliya, the beloved ones to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't want Allah waging war on you. So what's the solution? Don't commit dhulm to anybody. You don't know which ones of them, because it's egregious to do it to an animal or to something that's not even human. And again, what we said last week, even if it's a disbeliever that calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, harmed. So don't harm the awliya of Allah. Be careful, because it might be someone righteous that's at the receiving end of your abuse. And you have...
As-salamu alaykum. Peace be unto you. I am Dafrita Hadi, Director of the Model Community National Resource Directory, with a reminder for you to remember CWSC AM 360 End of the Year National Radio Telethon is here. Yes, on AM360.org. Remember, CWSC is us, and our work is serious and a big order to remake the world. Help us to stay strong and diligent at the continued work ahead of us. Make your donation today by calling 910-317-0297. Online, cwsc.us. That's us. Thank you. And together we will remake the world. As-salamu alaykum.
All right, dear listening audience, please join us tonight, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Assalamu alaikum.